This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. Hey, it's Bex. I'm here with the author Emma Shever. Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've written a brand new book.
I have.
What Lexi Did. It looks beautiful. So in this book, you've got Lexi, who comes from quite a big, intense Greek family, is that right?
Yeah, she's from a Greek Cypriot family living in London, and they're big and loud and warm and eat lots. And she's a member of this big, big, kind of happy, sometimes, family. Yeah.
So is that kind of similar to your family? Did you write about what you knew?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I wanted to write about a family that was very, very close, and where the families went in and out of each other's houses with pots of food because the mothers have this awful argument and then don't talk to each other anymore. And so the main character, Lexi, she's split up with from her best friend, who is her cousin, and the families don't speak. And so it had to be this really warm family to begin with, and not people that saw each other twice a year or something like that. But my family is very much like that. You know, they used to spend a lot of time together and then argue lots, and then, you know, there'd be big rows and they'd walk out with slamming doors and we'd be just wanting to play with our cousins and we'd have to leave. Yeah. So it was close to home.
I'm sure lots of listeners will recognise that as well. They'll know that deal. I definitely recognise it. Absolutely. Yeah. So in the book, you've got Lexi, who is best friends with her cousin, Ali. Yeah. And something happens in between them. Can you tell the listeners a little bit?
I can. So without spoiling anything, Lexi and Eleni are very, very, very close, and there's a reason. It's not just that they're very close friends. There's also a much deeper and more complicated reason why they're very, very close. And Lexi gets a bit annoyed by a new girl who turns up and takes her cousin and best friend away from her, and ends up, she's really confused about when to tell the truth and when to tell a lie, which I used to be when I was young. You know, I think most children, most adults, you know, find it difficult to know. And so she tells, in the end, this massive lie, and the lie becomes so big and it splits their families up, and their mothers don't talk to each other anymore, and she's split up from her favourite person in the whole world. And she's stuck in this lie, because how can she now tell the truth? Because she'll get in so much trouble. I mean, she's split these families up and they don't talk to each other, and 6 months go by, and she's upset everyone, and she just doesn't know how to make it better.
No. Oh, that's such a good teaser. Yeah. Because now people at home are thinking, what was the lie?
What could
rip that family apart?
How can she fix it?
And I guess the story is going to be, how can she bring people back together and learn how to maybe accept that you're going to have to tell the truth or sort something out.
And try and work out. I mean, you know, there's a part at the beginning of the book where her dad says, tell me the truth and no one gets in trouble. And she tells him the truth and everyone gets in trouble. And so this time when they say, tell us the truth, she thinks, well, it didn't work last time. So, I mean, it's a tricky thing. So there isn't one right way of, you know, this is the truth and this is a lie and this is what you should do, even though that's what we're told by our parents. There are times when, you know, if someone walks in wearing something and they look really horrible and you really don't like it, and they say, how do I look? You can't say you look really horrible, because it's mean. So, you know, there are times when we have to kind of smile and say, you look really nice, you know. So we all learn to a certain extent when we need to do that, but I think it's more complicated when you're younger.
Absolutely is. Now, the book itself it's really fun because you've got like notes and lists in there as well. Were they quite fun to write?
Yeah, they're the really fun bits. I like having things on the page that aren't just the story. I like having lists in the book before Dara Palmer's major drama. There are post-it notes that the two sisters argue with each other all the time, and they leave each other really rude post-it notes on the wardrobe. And so the post-it notes are in there. And in Amber, Dream on Amber, which is the first book, the list little sister writes letters to their dad, and Amber had this really great, not great, idea of pretending to be their dad and writing back. So the letters between Bella and who she thinks is her dad and Amber pretending to be her dad back, they're in the book as well. So I just like having something creative on the page. And also for readers who find it more difficult to read just walls of text, to have something that's a bit more playful and broken up.
You've mentioned already your two previous books. What makes Lexi different from the last two girls?
What makes Lexi different? Each one of them has got a little bit of something that I went through or I can relate to. Lexi as well, because my cousin, who was born 2 weeks after me, was my best friend in the whole world and still is very close to me, and I dedicated the book to him. But a lot of Lexi I had to find out about. I don't know anything about Greek Cypriots. I don't know about their food. I don't know about their culture. I was really worried about getting anything wrong. And I kept asking probably so many questions that I drove my Greek Cypriot new friends mad. But I just wanted to get it right. With Amber, the first book, she's half Japanese and half Italian. And she has a dad that leaves home when she's younger. And that's what happened with mine. And so I could draw on a lot of how I felt when I was young. And with the middle one, Dara, it's about a girl who is adopted from an orphanage in Cambodia. So I found out all about a friend of mine has got a girl who's adopted from an orphanage who lives in Rome. And so, but in a way, that was also easier because it was to do with emotions, whereas Lexi, I had to find out lots of facts.
Yeah, no, I noticed at the back you've got some recipes as well from the Greek Cypriot family.
Yeah.
Where did you get those from?
Actually, just before Christmas last year, the book was about to go to print. It goes to print about 4 months before the book comes out. So it was just about to go to the printers. And I was walking in Victoria Station on my way home and I picked up it was the first edition of National Geographic Food magazine. Mm. And in there was a Greek Cypriot chef and recipes, and he was in MasterChef. And I was like, oh, wow, Greek Cypriot. So I quickly got on Twitter and said, hello, I've written a book about Greek Cypriots. Would you like to give us a recipe? And he was like, yeah. I was like, wow, okay. So there's... Theo Michaels, his name is, his book, his recipes at the back of the book. And then the other one is the lady who I asked 4 million questions to and drove quite mad. And she used to own a bakery and she's Greek Cypriot. So she gave me the other recipe.
Oh, that's lovely.
So they're authentic.
What was the most surprising thing you found out about that culture?
There were lots of odd things. I think for me, one of the oddest things is that the most older Greek Cypriots, so grandparents, tend to have a lot of pictures on the wall, religious pictures. So pictures of sort of Jesus and Mary and a lot of saints, and they have kind of little statues in their house, and most of them have a saloni, which is like a sitting room that's only for, you know, best. And so they have pictures of all their children's graduations and then all these holy people on the wall, and you're not really allowed to go in. So there's lots of small things like that that you... we didn't really have that in our house, mm-hmm. you know, that, and everybody who's Greek Cypriot kind of nods and goes, oh yeah, we, you know, my grandparents had that in their house as well, or whatever. Yeah.
So you've got the three girls, you've got Dara, mm-hmm. you've got it's Amber, and you've got Lexi. Yeah. Do you have some more on the way?
I do. I have another book coming, but I'm writing something a little bit different. So I'm writing, at the moment, I've got two possibilities. One of them, both boys actually. So one of them is about two brothers and it's a really different type of story. And the other one is about a boy who goes on holiday to stay with his aunt. So I've written the boy and the aunt, but I've got some things I want to change. And the two boys that are brothers, I'm in the middle of that at the moment.
So you're pretty busy at the moment.
Yeah.
Lovely. Now, with every author that comes in, we have like a quick fire round of questions, if that's all right, just to do with you, just to get a feel for who you are as an author. No pressure.
Okay.
Let's see how we go. Okay, so first up, books or Kindles?
Books.
Every author says that.
Yeah.
Heroes or villains?
Heroes.
Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Oh, that's a tough one because hopefully one of my books is going to be adapted for TV. So I think for children's books, probably TV.
Keep it on brand. Thailand or Ireland?
Oh, how could you do that? That's like, which child did you love more? At the moment, it's Thailand.
Okay. Mm. We should say to listeners, you have ancestry from both. Yeah.
Yes.
Lovely. Writing or reading?
This is painful.
That's a tricky one, I'll give you.
Right, a reading.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tortoise or hamster?
Tortoise.
Tortoise. He's called Slow-Mo, is that right?
Yes.
Great name. Hogwarts or Narnia?
Hogwarts.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Laptop or write by hand?
Laptop.
Do you like Jacqueline Wilson or Roald Dahl?
Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl. Bookshop visit or school tour?
School tour.
School tour. Teaching English or writing?
Teaching English. I don't know. Writing. I can't choose. You're horrible. You're mean. I can't do this.
I'm just checking. Now, the big one is the last one here. Yeah. This is the one. Salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Salt and vinegar.
Yes, that is the correct answer every time. I don't mind what you say for the other ones. That's the one I judge you for. Brilliant. So, Emma, thank you so much for popping by.
Pleasure. Thank
and we should
for
say
having
me. The book is out right now.
The book came out in April, yes.
Yes, so everybody needs to go and buy What Lexi Did immediately.
Yes.
You'll see it because it's beautiful, it's red, and it's got a lovely face on the cover of Lexi. So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.